Welcome to Bobby Osinski's Inner Circle. I'm Bobby Osinski, and this is a show all about music, music production, and the music business. My guest today is Jeff Ponchik of Repost Network. First of all, let's talk about fake crowds. Would you like a large crowd of screaming fans? How about a huge crowd for a music video that you're about to shoot? Do you want to impress a club owner and maybe have lines around the block waiting to get in? Well, you can have this fairly easily if you have the money, because there's actually a company that will supply any kind of crowd anywhere of any size. It's a company from Los Angeles called Crowds on Demand, and that's what they do. They get crowds for political rallies, and they get crowds for movie stars at the airport, and crowds for just about anything you can think of. And what this goes to show you is your eyes can deceive you when you see a lot of people on television that are paying rapt attention to someone. You never know if, in fact, that's real or if somebody paid for them. Now, before you think that this is cheating, just remember this goes back a long way. It's been reported that Elvis and the Beatles actually used ringers in the audience whenever they did a television appearance. So those live TV appearances with the screaming girls could have been set up. Fake things happen a lot online as well. There's fake listeners on Spotify. There are fake likes. There are fake followers. There are fake views. If you want to pay for it, you can get a lot of people to do something for you. Now, sometimes it's real people, sometimes it's automated. More likely it's automated when it comes to online. Nonetheless, if you want to pay for it, you can get a lot. And this has made a lot of the music industry execs very, very skeptical of when they see big numbers, when they see big view numbers, when they see a lot of likes, and especially if it's from an artist or a band that they never heard of before. Because usually there's some sort of a buzz that they start to hear about before they start to see those numbers. So it just goes to show you, you can't fake things anymore, and you can get away with it for a little bit, but the people that really know are looking for these things, and they have a good way of finding them. For instance, a few years ago, there was this whole thing about Facebook likes, where there are huge numbers of Facebook likes, even for huge artists like Justin Bieber. And it turns out their management was buying likes. And the way that they figured it out was they started to look at where these likes came from, and most of them came from Mexico City. So that was a dead giveaway after a while. You could tell that they were bought because you just don't have 10 million fans from Mexico City that are liking something within an hour period. So be careful if you're going to buy these things. Be careful if you're going to buy a crowd. Be careful if you're going to buy likes, views, whatever online, because people will discover it. You will be found out. Remember, it only works for a little while. If you have any questions or comments, send them to questions@bobbyownercircle.com. Don't forget about my new coaching program. It's 101 Mixing Tricks, Big Studio Tricks with a Small Studio. Go to 101mixingtricks.com to learn more. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is a potentially new breakthrough in batteries that really might impact the MI industry and the audio industry down the road. This is what's known as the 3D battery, and it really has a lot going for it. This is a product of Colorado State University, and the people that discovered it at Colorado State have spun off their own company called Pareto Battery. That's P-R-I-E-T-O, Pareto Battery. What's cool about the 3D battery is the fact that, first of all, you can get a lot more capacity out of the same size. It's faster charging, there's longer life, and you just get more bang for the buck. One of the problems with the current batteries that we have, the 2D batteries, and there's lots of problems, but the fact of the matter is the electrons just flow one direction on one plane. They're 2D batteries. With the 3D battery, and now imagine these are mostly made out of foam. You have electrons that are moving in multi-dimensions, and that's what makes them so efficient. Now what you have is more surface area, multidimensional electron movement, and it gives you a lot more capacity and faster charge, longer life, much cooler. Here's the best part. It's definitely safer for the environment. One of the big problems with the current battery technology is good batteries are made out of lithium, which is very toxic. The electrolyte is liquid, really toxic. You don't get any of that with the new 3D foam batteries. So this is cool. Now, just imagine what it could do for you in the studio. For instance, to your computers, to your iPads, to your drives, for instance, that will all be battery powered and you don't have to worry about the battery running out, or at least you don't have to worry about it the way you do now. Imagine things like guitar pedals, things like wireless networks, wireless microphones, wireless guitars, where you basically have to change out the battery just about every time you use it. Well, this could be a breakthrough here where you don't have to change it for a really long time. So look for 3D batteries. It's not something that you're going to find on the shelf anytime soon, but it is a technology that's up and coming, and I think it'll make an impact on the audio industry and on the MI industry as well. So look out for that. My guest today is Jeff Ponchik, who's formerly the A&R manager for the YouTube multi-channel network, Fullscreen. Jeff has taken what he's learned from YouTube, started the first multi-channel network for SoundCloud, and his new venture is called Repost Network. A multi-channel network for SoundCloud does have big implications in the fact that now you can actually get paid for your SoundCloud streams. I talk with Jeff via Skype from Los Angeles. So basically what you are, you're an MCN for SoundCloud, right?
Yeah, you could call it that. I mean, in a lot of cases, we're, you know, I think the word MCN can have sort of a negative meaning in the entertainment industry, but that's essentially what we are. Really, we consider ourselves more of an artist monetization platform.
How long has the platform been going?
It's been about 7 or 8 months, I would say. Less than a year.
Okay.
And, you know, monetization is relatively new on SoundCloud, so... you know, we're just trying to take advantage of it and pioneer it while it's sort of in its, you know, infancy stage.
Yeah, you mentioned about SoundCloud Premiere. What's that?
Yeah, so the on SoundCloud Premiere program is a program they rolled out about a year ago. And that's essentially what we're doing, right? We're bringing artists into the on SoundCloud Premiere program on behalf of SoundCloud. Mm-hmm. And essentially, if you're a part of that program, you get access to a lot of the things that I mentioned, right? So the unlimited pro account, you know, the track artwork, sort of the custom features, access to monetization. It's SoundCloud's premier tier, you know, that they rolled out a year ago that allows artists to get more. Currently, it's invite only, and we're sort of the only one of the few, I would say, developing on top of it.
So what are you adding on top of it then?
Yeah, so like what I mentioned, the tech dashboard. So, you know, we believe that there is a huge issue in the music industry with regards to transparency. Mm-hmm. So, you know, being able to submit content, your content for monetization, for publishing clearance through our tech platform, through our dashboard, you know, is a big win. It makes it a lot easier for artists to monetize their content faster, as well as track their earnings. We're, you know, with, you know, the majority of our competitors, which are generally just YouTube networks or traditional music distributors, you know, they aren't getting that much because they're not, no one's sort of as laser focused on it as we are. So,
yeah, yeah.
The other aspect too is we're also offering traditional distribution to, you know, iTunes, Spotify, things of that nature too. So you can also, you know, begin to do that through our dashboard as well.
Oh, that's cool. Well, okay. Mm-hmm. Let's come back to monetization because I'm not quite clear on that. So is the artist charging a fee? Is it a charge per listen? What is it exactly? How does that work?
So you mean sort of in the way we work with artists or monetization in general on SoundCloud?
Well, in general on SoundCloud and then how you do it.
Yeah, the way monetization works on SoundCloud is it's so currently monetization is only happening on U.S. plays. If you haven't seen an ad on SoundCloud before, you know, it's a 15 or 30 second, usually skippable audio pre-roll when you, you know, hit play on a piece of content. The ad is coming through, their website, their mobile app, and through embed as well, not through custom players built on top of their API.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where you can see it. Again, yeah, monetization is only happening in the United States. So on US plays, it's sort of a market share, right? So the way I understand it is, you know, if, you know, X amount of dollars are put into the pool of, you know, for advertising on SoundCloud, and your monetizable U.S. plays is 1% of that, then you're entitled to, you know, 1% of that revenue. So a little different than YouTube. YouTube is sort of based on you know, how many clicks, right? Like, what's the click through?
Yeah.
SoundCloud's a little bit more about, like, the market share.
Huh. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yep. That's sort of what Spotify does. Spotify does a modification of that, where at a certain point, it clicks into market share.
Right, right. And I think, you know, I think it's only going to get more advanced, you know, as time goes on.
Yeah.
You know, Spotify and, you know, and YouTube have had years doing this, whereas, you know, SoundCloud's kind of, I think, just kind of wrapping the bend of its first year of, you know, introducing monetization to the platform. So.
And what kind of ads are they?
Yeah. So, like, you mean the brands that are advertising? Or?
Yeah,
that's a great question. You know, we've seen Squarespace, Audible. I mean, there's two different types of inventory, right? So there's podcast inventory, and then there's music inventory. So music inventory, you know, we've seen, trying to think, Grand Marnier, you know, SoundCloud does their own, you know, internal advertising as well. For the podcast space, you know, you see Squarespace, you see Audible. Yeah, you know, there's certainly lots of brands in the space, and I would say SoundCloud sales team is doing a really phenomenal job at, you know, bringing in interested advertisers. And, you know, my opinion, you know, this, and this isn't SoundCloud's opinion, right? But my opinion is, I think SoundCloud is at quite an advantage in that, you know, you have something like YouTube, right, which has video game content. They have, you know, fashion channels. They have music of every genre. You know, SoundCloud is, like, very hard hitting a very core demographic or type of person. Like, I think it's not super hard to think, okay, what is the average SoundCloud user? You know, what do they look like? Where do they live? How old are they? You know, it's pretty easy to kind of imagine what that is, which I think makes it much easier to kind of, you know, figure out who the big brands are that would want to reach that audience, and, you know, be able to come to them and say, hey, we have 175 million, you know, unique users, you know, we have this huge audience, you know, and I think it's working out, and it's proving that, you know, it's people, brands are interested in advertising in this space.
You know, I know a lot of, I'd say most musicians, most artists, most bands have a SoundCloud account, and I know they're big users. But do consumers go that often to SoundCloud? Or is it just, you know, they're clicking through because it happens to be convenient on somebody's website? Is that the way that works mostly? Okay, because, again, the users that I'm aware of are mostly, you know, again, musicians or people in the business. And that's not the way you sustain, you know, monetization of the platform.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, yes, there is a ton of traffic happening from blogs, certainly, and you know, third-party websites. Advertising, like I said, is coming through the embeds of that content. And maybe I'm not fully understanding your question, but, you know, I think what that is, right, is great marketing strategy, right? And they're starting to, I mean, you know, it's, again, my opinion, the fact that, you know, if, when you post something on Facebook now, that's a SoundCloud link, it has the link back to SoundCloud to listen to it. You know, they're starting to make smarter decisions with regards to getting, you know, those users back on their platform and listening on their platform.
Yeah.
And also, if you look at just growth of SoundCloud, year over year, it's phenomenal. I mean, the growth of it as a platform is, you know, and you know, don't quote me on this here, but, you know, it's, you know, I think it's something around like 50% growth year over year, at least, for the platform. So it's, you know, in terms of the amount of users and listeners and people uploading content to the site, 12 hours of audio uploaded every minute, it's massive.
That's very cool. I'm curious, because I don't know this. Most of the artists that I know are, they're beginning, they're up and coming, you know, they're maybe moderately successful. But do major artists have SoundCloud accounts?
Yeah, so... Warner Music has the deal done with SoundCloud, you know, certainly the other majors, you know, my hope is they will follow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's certainly much more major label content on YouTube than there is on SoundCloud at the moment.
But, for now, yeah.
But that's something that, again, is changing.
Okay.
And kind of, there's, you know, you can only go up.
Yeah. Okay, so how do you get paid?
How do we specifically get paid?
So
we're an aggregator. We're not like a TuneCore or a CD Baby in which we, you know, charge upfront per piece of content that we distribute and monetize. We believe in investing in the artists we work with and helping them grow and see success. So we operate on a revenue share model. So we take a small percentage of the revenue generated on the content that we help them monetize. We also offer, you know, the content protection so that, you know, those plays are happening on, you know, their monetized channels, you know, and, you know, helping them, you know, in some cases, you know, also market themselves and, you know, see success from their monetized content. That's how we get paid. We are, like any MCN, a bit of a middleman, right? We're kind of in between the platform and the artist. And, you know, our goal is to help break and, educate these artists about, you know, what publishing means and what a performing rights organization is and what an ISRC code is, that, you know, to a lot of people would be obvious. You know, we're teaching a lot of these, you know, successful kids on SoundCloud what they are, you know, and helping them get monetized and find success. So, we operate on a revenue share model, in which SoundCloud pays us, we take our cut, and then we pay out our artists, accordingly.
You just talked about content protection again, do you have something that's kind of like a content ID on YouTube? Is that similar?
Sort of. So you can take content down. So SoundCloud does have a way to, you know, utilize audio fingerprinting, and take down any third party upload. We, you know, certainly have the ability to continue to do that and build that out. Our approach though is, you know, whether you like it or not, like SoundCloud is a great platform for remix content. You know, through our product, if our artists see, you know, I would say 95% of our artists, if they see someone taking their content and they want us to take it down, we'll usually just reach out and say, hey, you know, we protect the rights on behalf of this, you know, artist who, you know, owns, you know, controls the master and, you know, is self-published. You know, can you please take this down? Otherwise we're going to, you know, be forced to strike you. We try to be a little bit more cool about it because, you know, what you start to see happen with, you know, certainly with what the majors are doing is just channels being taken down left and right because they're sweeping through and, you know, shutting down remixes. So I would say for us, like the majority of it is manual takedown, but for some people we're, you know, pursuing a more automated solution.
So how are you finding unauthorized content then? Is there a bot that crawls through SoundCloud or is it just, you know, manual?
Yes. So for us, again, like it's mostly manual. It's our artists, you know, they're very protective of their content and, you know, they'll let us know if, you know, if they want something taken down. And we have a product for that in our dashboard,
mm-hmm.
You know, a content protection sort of app, as it were. But yeah, I mean, for some, you know, we can kind of similarly to YouTube, you know, utilize SoundCloud's fingerprinting system and set a policy more or less to take down the content upon upload. There's no way to monetize third-party uploads at this time, but that I would imagine would be huge for everyone.
Yeah.
If SoundCloud were to allow for that to happen, but yeah, I mean, the key difference is, you know, on YouTube, you know, everyone thinks Content ID is this great thing. You know, you have companies like Zephyr who have, you know, built, you know, pretty big businesses off of, you know, Content ID on YouTube. But it's kind of a flawed system in my opinion, right? It's very much like you as a content creator upload the content and then the rights holders are sort of expected after the fact to come in and claim ownership of that. With us, we're clearing publishing on a per track basis. So, you know, we know for Monetize Play One, you know, all of the, you know, stakeholders are compensated, right? So it's sort of like on SoundCloud, there's a bit of a higher barrier to entry for monetization, but it's safer, right, for our artists, which, you know, I think is good.
How are publishers getting paid?
Yeah, that's a great question. So SoundCloud has, you know, certainly some direct deals with larger publishers, in which, you know, they just, you know, I have no idea actually how they handle that. But for independent artists, it's a company called Music Reports, which, you know, there's the public, that's who we use. We use a company called Music Reports who helps to clear, you know, the publishing for our independent artists.
Got it. Well, I'm curious though, I guess there's two publishing royalties, right? There must be a streaming performance royalty because it's on demand, and as well as a performance royalty, right? Right? Am I right on that?
So you're saying a streaming, say that one more time?
Well, you know, with Spotify or any kind of on-demand music distributer, there's two publishing royalties that get paid out. One is a performance royalty that goes, you know, right to the publisher through ASCAP, BMI. And the other one is a streaming mechanical. And that's paid, you know, to the record label first, and then it gets distributed from there, which isn't a good way to do it, but that's what they do. So I'm just curious if if the same thing. It must be the same because of it's on demand.
And I mean, Music Reports is the one who, you know, what they're doing is like essentially we're working with Music Reports to secure a license for SoundCloud to be able to monetize that content, right?
Yeah.
And then they are responsible for paying out on those publishing royalties.
Okay. Well, that's pretty cool. Is the Repost Network then bootstrapped? Do you have investors? How does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. So we received an investment from Amplify LA. So we're a Amplify LA company working in Venice Beach, which is great. We've also raised a little bit of seed and angel as well. So we are funded on the seed level and we're hiring and growing, and you know, we're seeing a pretty awesome demand of you know, maybe I'd say between 25 and 50 applicants per day who are just we have something artists want, we have something independent artists want, and it's great to work with them and help them monetize their content. And you know, at the end of the day, when we see, you know, when someone hits us up through support and says, you know, hey, I was able to, you know, take the $100 you made me and I bought Ableton instead of pirated it. You know, it's a really great feeling to just see them reinvest it, you know, into themselves. Yeah. So, it's an awesome feeling to be empowering our artists, and, we're really creating a family type, vibe with the artists we work with too.
I mean, the cool thing is I don't know of anybody else in the space. It just sounds like a brilliant idea, because up until now it's kind of a free-for-all, isn't it? You know, if
it's certainly the Wild West. We're definitely figuring it out as it goes along.
And you come from a big MCN, so you kind of know the ropes and how all that works, so it should be
if there's anything I learned, it's that the multi-channel network space, you know, if you put enough emphasis on tech in the beginning and you make it easier for people, and you can work with the platform in a capacity that, helps make everyone money, and, you can allow some features that everyone wants, it's a really great way to just aggregate talent and content creators. I think that's been proven. And yeah, this is certainly my second rodeo. It's a little easier to kind of like hit the ground running, kind of knowing like, okay, we should definitely do this, we shouldn't do that. Definitely having that experience and seeing, you know, the success of Full Screen is pretty, you know, helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw something on your website about custom apps. Can you tell me about that?
Custom apps.
Yeah.
So I mean, within our dashboard, we have some apps within our, some general apps that help, you know, our artists out. So an example is, we have an app called Don't Sample Me in there. And this is something that our artists requested, right? One of the great things about having, you know, hundreds of artists who love what you're doing for them is they'll tell you additionally what they want from you. So what this is it's basically, We kind of partnered with some kids out in Texas who had built out more or less just a list of every major label artist and to what extent they issued content takedowns across the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's totally crowdsourced. You know, we work with them to bring that into our dashboard in the form of an app. So you can type in Drake or, you know, Lady Gaga or Dr. Dre, and it will tell you, you know, how much of how likely your content is to be taken down should you remix them.
Now, wow.
Repost, of course, never condones the uploading of unofficial remix content to any platform online. That's not okay. But we can condone, you know, the, you know, education of the way in which artists are protecting their copyright and, you know, how to potentially avoid any, you know, unnecessary copyright disputes, you know, which is a problem for the platform. It's a problem for the artist. It's a problem for the rights holders.
How that works. So. That's interesting because instead of encouragement, it's really, a form of, you better watch it, you know, because no matter what it is, you see what could happen if you do that, if you use unauthorized content. So I would see that, you know, working in the favor of
everyone.
Yeah,
really.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's not like these kids are going out and remixing content, you know, cause they're like bad people, right? Like the majors or whatever, you know, like, oh, like this content on your platform is illegal. And you know, this is so bad. It's literally just a lack of knowledge, right?
Yeah, they just
about
don't know
what the implications of those things are, you know?
So
we're really trying to work with our artists and, you know, educate them to be a little bit more smart, you know, and be a little bit more compliant within the traditional music industry, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, let's talk some big picture here. What's your feeling about YouTube MCNs? What do you see happening with that?
Just in general?
Well, in YouTube, for instance, because it seems like it's played out now.
I don't know sort of what you mean by played out, but it's, if you look at what's happening higher level at, you know, Maker Studios or, Full Screen or The Collective, there's a lot of diversification happening. And, you know, my guess would be that all these MCNs probably wish they'd start doing that a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
the influencer space, it's weird. Like the multi-channel YouTube space, yeah, like I don't know how much longer that's, you know, going to be. That might be played out, right? It might be pretty hard for someone to enter that space on YouTube and really make like a sizable dent. Because, you know, certainly the big guys are already established and have access to an absurd amount of capital, you know. But, you know, the influencer space in general, right, is, I think, hotter than ever. Across Twitter, across Facebook, and across SoundCloud, you know, I think it's a situation where this year is going to be, you know, the big platforms that are here to stay. And, you know, in the next few years, it's going to be really interesting to see how, you know, Facebook starts to pay its content creators for its posts or Twitter or, you know, or even if they do that, right? And I think that the MCNs will be really well positioned to take advantage of, you know, working with other platforms taking their talent other places and really expounding value beyond just YouTube, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I believe in it. I think, you know, it's just how are they going to, if they're going to continue to exist, how are they going to drive value from, you know, not just YouTube, right? Like how do we create value for our talent elsewhere?
Right. What do you see in the future for a repost? What are the long-term plans?
I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you, Bobby.
Well, I mean, where do you hope that it goes?
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of interesting, right? We're like using our relationship with SoundCloud to aggregate a ton of artists, right? If you look at SoundCloud, of any platform next to YouTube, actually, it has the largest amount of non-represented, like non-label content, right?
Mm-hmm.
Huge majority, like I won't give the actual number, but a huge, huge overwhelming majority of the artists in our network are not distributing to iTunes, are not distributing to Spotify, despite having medium to large audiences on SoundCloud.
Mm-hmm.
I think obviously we are going to be, we're already moving towards it, beginning to start playing in the distributor space.
I see why you're there. Yeah. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. So, SoundCloud's just, there's a reason why TuneCore and everyone are spending a ton of money advertising on SoundCloud to try and acquire more people right now, right? But we're more in it, and we're aggregating artists at a really alarming pace. So, definitely moving into sort of the distributor space. But again, the mission of Repost is to help artists and podcasters make a living through their audiences online. And I honestly believe we're going to do that through any means possible,
mm-hmm.
For audio creators. And, that could include, doing a deal with a clothing or a merchandise company or, you name it, whatever our artists ask for and whatever they want, we're going to try and, bring them those opportunities. And, it's going to be a great day when we can finally highlight an artist and say, hey, we're paying for this person's, life
mm-hmm.
from the revenue we're generating for them. So, I think, it's definitely moving into the distributor space, a bit more and just helping to, create more value for these artists. Because again, it's not that they can't make money. It's a lack of education or knowledge about how to go about doing that.
Right. Are you adding any, like a promotional factor? Cause I really don't know how you'd promote yourself on SoundCloud. I don't have enough experience. So tell me, how does that happen?
I could tell you the best way to promote it. So the best way to promote yourself on SoundCloud is to just find a group of people who are like-minded artists and repost each other's content. So there's this thing happening on SoundCloud called collectives, right? Where you'll get like 14 or 20 artists or something. You'll share a SoundCloud account. You guys will contribute some content to it. And, you're kind of like a little family and you repost each other's content and you all grow together.
Yeah.
Because essentially on SoundCloud, the action of an upload and the action of a repost is sort of the same action. So that's the best way to do it. So when a lot of our artists ask for help with, getting more plays on SoundCloud, it's seriously just a matter of just introducing them to other like-minded artists in our network and just getting them to be like, hey, I really like your music. Like I'll repost it. And then they say, thanks, I'll do the same. And it's just, and they can collaborate together and start working together. So, it's honestly just a lot of that. I think that one of the things I'm very hesitant about and something I learned from the multi-channel network space is, I think a lot of YouTubers were under the impression that if they joined a YouTube network, some sort of light switch would be flicked and they would become a big YouTuber.
Yeah.
Which just isn't the case, right? Like if the larger you get from like a scale capacity, in terms of the amount of content creators in your network, the, less you are able to effectively market them, right? Like if you're a music manager, you have a couple people on your roster and you're doing that full time. Like imagine trying to do that for 70,000 people. So we're a little bit less, when it comes to marketing, like if there's any marketing opportunities, it's generally going to be, it's definitely happening, generally happening through a product, right?
Yeah.
That's sort of the only at scale way for us to communicate with our artists and sort of let them self-serve themselves. So we're a little bit sort of in our pitch to artists and the people we work with, we're a little bit more focused on the content protection, the monetization side of things, and less on the marketing than I think most MCNs are, whereas they can be a little bit more like, we'll set up collaborations, we'll help market you. We just don't want to be in a position where we overpromise and underdeliver. And, we know we can do the content protection stuff really well. We know we can do the monetization stuff really well. And the marketing stuff, yeah, we can do it. But, we realize that that's not the most scalable thing to do for everyone. We don't outwardly kind of promise that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it does come up.
Well, it's just like an artist signing to a record label. It's the same thing where in the artist's mind, and many of them, it's, oh, I've made it. They're going to make me a star.
Right.
And the fact is you're one of, 100 artists, maybe more, and some, major labels. And it's really easy to fall through the cracks. So, I could say. But, I've heard it before as well. And I think in the beginning, I was even under the impression that a YouTube MCN was going to, really contribute to the marketing and you know, as you say, there's just so many of them, it's impossible.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just managing people's expectations, right?
Yeah.
Which is always a hard thing to do because, you know, everyone wants the best for their content. So, we don't like really actively, like I'm not 100% sure, don't quote me on it, but I don't think there's anything on our current website that says anything about we'll offer marketing. We're not super, our value add is we will help you make money.
Well, so, yeah, sure. Where they wouldn't be making it before, sure. I mean, yeah. I can't see a downside personally.
Yeah.
So,
well, and what about you? Are we going to get this podcast on SoundCloud or what?
I'd love to. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I never even considered it until I received your email the other day. And it's like, Oh, hey, that's a good idea. Does the cross-posting work with podcasters as well?
The cross-promotion? Yeah,
cross-promotion,
absolutely. I mean, I would say Dave Pensado would be a great person for you to probably connect with on that.
Well, I talk to Dave frequently, so next time I do, I'll bring that up. But
There we go.
Let's get it going, definitely.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you know, SoundCloud has and you can tell me what you think of my pitch to podcasters if you want. So if you are, you have a podcast channel, you work with us, you get a free unlimited pro account for a year, right? So you can upload all of your podcasts, right? All of your back catalogs to the channel. You can basically enter SoundCloud's podcast program, which means you can still deliver to iTunes and, you know, all the places you would normally deliver to. And instead of going with like someone like Libsyn's or whatever, you know, you're tapping into a platform that has a community. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And not only is your hosting free, but we can put advertisements in front of your hosting, and your hosting will make you money, right? So that's a pretty good deal too.
Yeah, it is, so, definitely. No, that's pretty cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. One last question.
Sweet.
So in this new venture of yours, what have you learned that's kind of new, a new piece of business advice or a new lesson that you've learned?
I think I would say if I was a smarter person, I wouldn't be in music. it's a little bit more difficult to get investment in the music space just because I think a lot of people have been burned by it.
Yeah.
But I'm just one of those people where I'm completely addicted to it, and you know, there's nothing I can do. It just has me, and I just see so many problems in the music industry. I have to try and fix them. So, if I was a little smarter, I would probably be in a field that, you know, is a larger market.
Yeah.
Makes a little bit more money. But you know, again, I think there's a lot of money to be made in music, and that's kind of what we're all about, right? There's a lot falling through the cracks, and it's easier than ever to be an independent artist. How do we really empower those people?
I get it. That's cool. I know, as far as investors that I know, or when I get into conversations with people that are in that space, what they always tell me about the music space is that they're deathly afraid of anything that has to do with licensing. And they think that anything in the music, music tech space requires licensing. So that's really scared a lot of them away.
Yeah, and the beauty of what we're doing is it requires no major label buy-in.
Yeah, right. No, that's
right?
Beautiful.
So it's which is great. Like I honestly think I have found something that is not reliant on gathering, you know, doing, you know, taking a year or 2 years to do it, you know, a deal with Universal. You know what I mean? I completely don't have to deal with any of that, which is pretty.
Yeah,
awesome,
yeah, it is, because that's a killer when you have to wait that long, and then you have to deal with the other major labels plus the indies. So yeah, that's I can see why people would be scared, but you're right, you don't need to do that. So it's a wonderful thing. Well, this is cool. This has been a great conversation, Jeff. I'm really happy for you. This sounds like a very cool thing that you're doing. So I'm glad we had this talk today.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You can find out more about monetizing your SoundCloud streams and about Repost Network at repostnetwork.com. It's Repost Network, all one word, REPOST network.com. Thanks for listening and being in my inner circle. Remember, if you have any questions or comments, you can send them to questions@bobbyointercircle.com. Many thanks to Steve Cherubino. He's the host of the EDM Producer Podcast at edmmr.com. To listen to other episodes of Bobby Osinski's Inner Circle, you can go to bobbyosinski.com and select the podcast tab, or go to bobbyointercircle.com, or find it on iTunes, Stitcher, Mixcloud, and Google Play. At bobbyosinski.com and bobbyointercircle.com, you'll find a sign-up form for my newsletter and for alerts for new podcasts. This is Bobby Osinski. I'll see you next time.